Just a quick reminder of how we break cards here on The Whisperer in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an auto fail, and the cards in between get a +1/+0 or Elder thing, respectively. Cards that are good in one particular Investigator or cards that you build around get a Bless token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. I'd also like to extend a big thank you to Cole Monroe Chitty for the art that graces this channel, Nicole Fiscus for the new Whisperer in Darkness logo, and Nate Lost in Time and Space for the intro, as well as the new overlays for these reviews. Thank you very much, everyone. I couldn't do it without you. We are back with part three of our look at the Guardian cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. This time we are starting off with Dodge level 2. It is a free event with willpower and two agility skill icons. The tactic trait, fast, play when an enemy attacks an investigator at your location. Cancel that attack, then test agility 1. If you succeed, deal 1 damage to that enemy. Couple of nice things about this card. It's a resource cheaper than its level 0 counterpart. Counterattacking for 1 damage is a nice option if you're playing an investigator with above average agility like Skids. The extra agility skill icon on the card is nice for Guardians in a pinch. It's no defensive stance, mind you, but it's okay. I guess the biggest issue I have with this card is that at 2 XP, this feels very much like a luxury rather than a necessity.
Yeah, it's like it's just 1 damage, and you have to test for it, so there's like even that chance you pull the auto fail or something like that and don't. Or worse, you pull like a special token and then you fail and then something bad happens. It's tough because like pulling tokens out of the bag can sometimes be more than what you bargained for. So, sure, 1 damage is nice, but you're not playing dodge to deal damage, you're playing dodge to dodge.
The level 0 version basically does everything that that this one does, like the important thing, which is cancel the attack. I really wish it wasn't a skill test. Then I think it'd be worth 2 XP.
Yeah, I agree.
The fact that it's a skill test, I think it's worth 1 XP.
Yeah, it's just like those random chances where you fail, and it's like the whole reason you're upgrading into this card is for that damage. You know, there's literally nothing different about it. Sure, there's 1 extra skill icon, and that is nice, but that's not worth 2 XP.
I really don't like when they add very minor skill tests to cards like this. It's like, it's 1 agility. You're really, the only investigators who are going to be interested in this card, like no Guardian with 2 agility is going to bother upgrading to this. So it's really, somebody like Skids is going to, would be interested in this. And he's got a 4, so he's already testing 4v1 on standard difficulty. He should pass this most of the time. So why bother putting the skill test on it to begin with? I mean, it's just a sort of a perfunctory at that point. Like, he's probably going to pass. Sometimes he's going to fail and something awful is going to happen. But for just 1 damage.
What's kind of ironic is that the fact that there's an additional skill test in this card, you could argue that that makes this card worse. Like, if they remove the line, this card might actually be better.
Yeah. How do we rate Dodge level 2?
I think as far as, like, an upgrade, it's an Elder thing.
Yeah.
But in, like, in a vacuum, the power level's fine. I guess a 0 to Elder thing?
Yeah, Elder thing. It's not that great. I mean, in Dodge, if you really want canceling the attack, Dodge does everything you need it to do. I mean, 2 XP for having it cost 0, which is nice, and having that second agility icon, which is also nice. Like, that's worth, like, 1 XP right there. But, like, it's a hard 2. It's like, if you really have lots of XP and you're swimming in XP, then it's probably fine. But I think by and large, it's an Elder thing. Yeah,
I'd almost be willing to put this in auto fail territory. Yeah. I'm gonna give it an Elder thing, but man, 2 XP for somebody like Skids, who has way better cards to spend their XP on. They have so many exceptional cards that cost a ton of XP. this thing is so far down the list of upgrades that that's probably why I would, if I was going to give it an auto fail, that's the reason why, because it just seems like, why bother? It just doesn't do enough, doesn't do anything that Dodge doesn't really do except for the damage, and it's just not worth, I just don't think the one damage is worth 2 XP, and if you're looking for extra agility skill icons, those you can get elsewhere, so
defensive stance 1 XP.
I'm gonna give it an elder sign, or I keep saying elder sign when I mean elder thing. I'll give it an elder thing, but man, this is awfully close to an auto fail for me, just because it just doesn't do enough. Cards like this really sort of annoy me because they're it's like they're obligatory design, you know, cards we sort of knew that were going to come at some point, that they were going to be designed, but they just end up not doing enough to really warrant.
Faff, that's what they are. Yeah.
They just don't do enough to warrant card, being played.
This card feels like it was designed in the core set. You know, like this card doesn't feel like a card that is from a card game that's been developed for 6 or 7 years at this point. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like this feels very vanilla core set card, which, like, not to rag on the core set because there's plenty of great cards in there, but like this just feels like you said, it's just like like why bother?
I mean, maybe it's a hangover from the return to the Knight of the Zealot product, and they just didn't have enough space to put this in. They've been sitting on it for a while, and they're like, well, I guess we can. Here we need 130 plus cards, so let's throw this thing in and fill a hole.
Yeah, I know. We could wax all day about what we think should have been in the set, but if it didn't have the test, it would be worth 2 XP. If it just dodge and deal a damage, 2 XP. Fine.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. That'd be okay. I think like you wouldn't be like eager to upgrade into it, but yeah,
it's a decent
upgrade at that point.
The next card in the box is Combat Training. It is a free asset that costs 3 experience points. It has 2 combat skill icons, 2 agility skill icons, the talent and composure traits. It is fast, limit 1 composure in play. You get +1 combat and +1 agility. Non-direct damage / horror must be assigned to combat training before it can be assigned to your investigator card. As a free triggered ability, spend 1 resource. You get +1 combat or +1 agility for this skill test. It has 3 health and 1 sanity. The composure talents were originally released way back in Echoes of the Past. And they landed with a thud among the community. Not many of them see much play, largely, I think, just because they're very fragile. Most of them only had either 1 health or 1 sanity. And that fact that you have to assign, the moment you try to assign anything to your investigator, it goes to these things and they vanish. These upgraded composures automatically give you a passive combat and agility skill boost in the case of combat training, which is very nice. Those passive boosts are always welcome. It does have more health than its level 0 counterpart. It has 2 extra health, so this thing can soak a couple of damage before you have to worry about it going away. It's a pretty tempting target for well-prepared. The guardian asset from the Boundary Beyond that lets you count the icons on assets in your play area as bonuses. I guess the biggest problem, as with all the composures, is that you really can't play them in a vacuum. You need other ways to soak damage and horror in order to support this if you expect it to stick around for longer. And I guess the other thing working against this card is just the fact that, man, the level 0 counterparts of pretty much all of the composures were really found wanting by deck builders. And I did a quick search on ArkhamDB to just see how many decks were out there. And, you know, a lot of the big name deck builders who have a lot of points to their name aren't touching these things. So what do you guys think of combat training?
I've always had a bit of a soft spot for these cards personally. Moxie and Plucky have always been cards I've actually liked in my decks. They are fragile, but these level 3 versions are slotless bonuses, and that's basically unheard of. At fast, no less. So like you can get a buff at fast speed. Like that's pretty nuts, honestly. And it's fast soak too, which can literally save your life at the very least sometimes. Like I don't know, these seem pretty tempting to me, and some of the other ones that we'll talk about in future reviews are I think even more tempting than combat training, just because it feels a little bit redundant in Guardian. But I mean, even still, like it's got 4 points of soak and 2 stats worth of buffs on a zero cost asset that's fast. That's pretty good.
Yeah, also I have to correct myself. There is a Guardian card that provides a static agility buff, and it's this thing. if you're playing Butterfly Swords in your deck, one thing I've noticed about this game is that often enough, as the game has gone on, it's been loaded up with allies that their main function is to provide 2 passive stat boosts. They tend to cost quite a bit. Compare this to Greta Wagner level 3, costs 5 resources to put into play, and you know has a similar amount of soak. This one is 0 resources to put into play, also buffs 2 stats, is fast, and frees up your ally slot. I gotta be honest, I really, really like these new composures, because just for the stat boost alone, they'd still be really good if they only buffed 1 stat, you know, for their XP cost. Also, what's nice about this one is that you're in Guardian, so you have options to prevent horror from taking this thing out. You can run other horror soaks, but you can also run things like I've Had Worse in order to keep this thing on the board. As a Guardian, you have a way to protect this thing in your Guardian card pool already. Just the fact that it gives you 2 stat boosts, even if it didn't even let you buy additional boosts, would still be amazing. I think these things are very good.
So do you see any particular investigator who would be interested in something like this?
Any investigator who can take it, to be honest. Because the passive boost for zero cost and fast is like super good. But yes, Tommy in particular, you can do some fun shenanigans where it's like, I pay 0 and then I get 4 Becky bullets, and then I pay another 0 and then I get another 4 Becky bullets.
That seems pretty good.
Yeah. And to top it all off, you can safely take 2 of these because of the icon spread. If you draw 1, you put it into play, that's great. If you really need to pass a test with the other one, you can commit it, and it actually works because it has good icons. I love, there's like nothing not to like about this card.
And it still has an ability. Like, we haven't even discussed the fact that it has an ability to like boost your test even further. So
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like by and large, the community kind of slept on the composures a little bit. And to be fair, like, the card pool has changed so dramatically since they've been originally released that, you know, like Matt was saying, there's so many more allies that kind of function in a similar respect to what these cards are doing, that basically a fast version of that is so good.
And it frees up your ally slot in a weird way, because you can get your static boost. You don't have to run Beat Cop. Like, as amazing as Beat Cop level 2 is, you don't have to do it in order to get like a static combat boost.
Yeah. So how do we rate to your ally combat training?
I quite like this card. I think I would be willing to give it a +1. Elder Sign it's up there for me, honestly. As far as upgrades go, it's really good. You know, I don't think you should be sleeping on these cards.
I'm giving this thing an Elder Sign just for like just the amount of stuff it gives you, and I really like that it frees up your ally slot, so you can try different allies besides the standard ones like Beat Cop and Greta. Like it frees up your deck building, and I think also as a Guardian you have ways to keep it on the board by taking horror prevention, so like you can kind of protect it in class. So yeah, I like this thing, Elder Sign. I love this card.
I'm going to settle on a +1 on this one. I obviously it's much better than the level 0 counterpart. The passive skill boosts are great. The soak is great. And it does even give you the option to spend resources to boost your tests a little higher. I'm really curious to find out whether the community will rally around these, and whether they'll make the cut, or whether the community will just look at it and go, it's a composure, nah, and move on. Yeah. I think they're good enough to see more play, but who knows?
I think what happened was that the composures came out within a year of the permanent pay-to-stat boosters, which were so good, they had to be bumped up to like 8 XP in some cases. I think that's what happened. Like, compared to higher education, composures look terrible.
Yeah, and I think part of it is also that, you know, the stat spread wasn't as useful on the limited investigator pool. You know, like, scientific theory wasn't very good before Joe Diamond, but now Joe Diamond is in the game, and all of a sudden that card gains a lot more stock. So, you know, I think it's a little column A, a little column B in that regard.
The next card that we're going to take a look at is On the Hunt, level 3, free event, willpower, intellect, and combat skill icons, tactic trait. It is fast. Play when you would draw an encounter card during the Mythos phase. Instead, search the encounter deck for an enemy, spawn it engaged with you instead of its normal spawn location, and attach On the Hunt to it and shuffle the encounter deck. As a response, when you defeat the attached enemy, you gain 3 resources. So this is a resource cheaper than its level 0 counterpart from Black Star's Rise. You get to pick any enemy in the encounter deck rather than an enemy. I believe it's in the top 9 cards, which is still quite a few cards to choose from. But this one, you can, if there is a weak enemy that's worth VP, you can go fish that out and kill it. And you get to generate 3 resources when you kill that enemy, which is pretty nice for guardians. They're not going to turn their nose up at free resources for basically doing something that most of them want to do anyway.
This to me feels like Guardian's version of Delve Too Deep, in a way.
You're right. Yeah. Like, you go find card, the VP enemy.
Yeah, this card finds you VP. That's so good. And in a class that needs experience points to be able to get up to their big weapons, this card's pretty gas, honestly.
If you squint hard enough, it actually says 0 cost fast action, gain 3 resources.
It does. Yeah, that too. And it's like really that plus bury them deep.
Oh, yeah. If you have like buries them deep.
It's like, that's pretty cool.
I really like this thing because I think like On the Hunt was one of those where I see the strength of it, but it like wasn't quite a wonder card, like a one-stop shop, where I think this actually is. 3 XP feels steep, but I think the 3 resources puts it over the top because it's going to give you 3 resources without having to spend an additional action or card slot on things like emergency cash. It fills a similar role as Stand Together level 3 in that regard, where like you're getting a bunch of, you know, resources. But I think I think attaching the 3 resources on it is what really saved this thing and makes it, I think, just worth 3 XP. And the fact that it's never going to whiff because you're just going to find whatever enemy you want, whether it's a super weak enemy because you had a rough start and you want to like punch something for 1 and defeat it and gain 3 resources, or if it's near the end of the game and you're already set up and you want to get rid of the big enemy. Or if it's, or if you're in a position where you really don't want to draw a treachery that's going to cause you to go insane, it kind of saves you in the early game and saves you in the end game. So I think this card is like very solid.
Well, you are spending 3 XP up front, like we were saying earlier. If you squint real hard, it has victory 1 on the bottom of it, so it can also, in the long run, pay for itself if you pick it up early enough in a campaign. Another thing to note about this card is that there are certain scenarios that require you to find a particular enemy out of the encounter deck, and this just completely breaks those scenarios.
But you know what? That's okay, because it's a level 3 Guardian card. And you know what? If anyone should be able to do that, it should be Guardians at 3 XP or higher. You know, like specifically the Realm of Guardians. You know, this is what they do.
Yeah, the 3 XP on this feels steep.
It does.
And it... This one does feel kind of like a luxury upgrade again. It's really nice to have, but Guardians have a lot of stuff they need to buy already. And unless you can sort of reliably fish out those VP enemies out of the deck and kill them every... I think this thing could end up paying itself off if you buy it early enough and are able to leverage it during scenarios. But if you're not doing that,
I think you might actually be setting yourself back a little bit because you're going to have to delay getting your weapon. You're going to have to delay getting some of those other cards that you really want. I think it's really interesting, though, to compare this to, say, Dodge level 2, which we did not like. And this card seems to be done right, where it's like, okay, here is something that is demonstrably better than its level 0 version. Just tacking on one damage to dodge isn't enough. This thing, you get to search the entire deck for that VP enemy you want to kill, and gives you 3 resources. Now that's something worth spending XP on.
I'm starting to actually, now that we've gone through a few cards, though, that feel like they're overpriced XP-wise, I wonder if Edge of the Earth is going to get us like 60 XP. Like, I'm starting to wonder.
You know, it's hard to speculate without really knowing really much of the campaign. They've given us little bits and pieces, but they haven't said as far as, like, you know, numbers or anything like that goes. So speculating on that is a bit hard, but this card, especially in campaigns like Carcosa or Dunwich that have, like, VP enemies in the encounter deck very regularly and that are fairly low on experience, you know, this card could be pretty good for you. You know, I was replaying Dunwich recently and, you know, there's like those Vassal of the Lurkers and the Ithian Observers, and there's plenty of those like enemies that are small enough that you can pretty easily kill nowadays. That card's pretty much all upside in scenarios like that.
Yeah, and you get to wait for the moment when you're set up and ready to deal with the VP enemy, and then you get to pull it, as opposed to having one of your friends draw it and then they struggle with it. You know, that's good enough alone. You know, by itself.
So how would we rate this one?
I quite like this card. I think I'd give it a +1. It feels kind of bad to spend experience on it initially. It's going to pay for itself in the long run, I think. And just that level of consistency of being able to find those enemies when you're good and set up and able to deal with them at the right time can be really critical to a scenario success. So I think this is a pretty solid role player that will do a lot of unseen work for you.
Yeah, I'd also give it a +1, largely because it merges the functionality of multiple cards you probably already wanted to play into one. 3 XP is a lot. That's why it prevents this from being this an outright Elder Sign, but I think this does a lot of work. I think if you're building a Guardian deck that maybe goes to Butterfly Swords level 2 and stops and doesn't go for big guns, then I think that's like the real home for this thing.
I think the 3 XP cost on this thing is a significant drag on it for me. But, I mean, the power is there. So I think this one ends up being a +1 for me. It's especially for somebody like Roland, whose special ability is all about enemies. Being able to pull one when you need it is very nice. My only hesitation is that there's so much competition for that XP that I think you got to pull the trigger on this one early in a campaign and use it to generate more XP for yourself.
Although that being said, there are some like scenario 7s and scenario 8s where having the ability to search the whole deck for the super terrible enemy that you don't want anyone else to draw is kind of worth 3 XP. I'm thinking like the dancers in TCU. Like if you're set up and ready to deal with a dancer, pulling it for yourself and not for the seeker is like pretty good.
Yeah, that's true. So
or the Narlathotep copies in or is that Where the Gods Dwell, you know, like where you have to specifically find the right one at the right location. Like this card just trivializes that entirely.
No, I definitely think this one is it's powerful. It's just man, the 3 XP gives me some hesitation, but I've always liked On the Hunt, and I think this one is you compare this to Dodge, this is head and shoulders above that upgrade. So definitely worth a look if you're looking to spend your XP. That brings us to the final card in the Guardian card pool that we're going to take a look at. All of the multi-class cards will be dealt with in videos of their own. There are so many of those that these videos would be 2 hours long if we had to deal with all the Guardian multi-class cards as well. This is the Fang of Tirithra, I think, maybe?
Tirithra? Tirithra? Okay. Elder thing on pronunciation.
Leave a pronunciation guide in the comments. That would be very helpful. three cost event that costs 4 XP. It has 2 combat and 2 agility skill icons. It is a spell. Fight, choose an enemy at any revealed location as the target for this attack. Before resolving this attack, you may move to that enemy's location. Add your agility to your combat for this attack. This attack deals +3 damage. So you're hitting for 4 minimum. If you're Nathaniel, you're hitting for 5. Spell trade, of course, synergizes with cards like Arcane Initiate, Marie Lambeau, and Devermis Mysterious, which actually might not be bad with this one. Devermis lets you play it from your discard pile at a reduced cost. So you're paying 2 instead of 3. Not sure while Marie likes spells, she doesn't have the agility, I think, to really make this work for her, but maybe. What do you guys
think? And the combat. Yeah, Marie doesn't have the combat or the agility to really leverage this, unfortunately. I mean, it sounds really good on paper. You get to move 1 or 2 locations, maybe even more, and then hit something for 4 damage. That's pretty strong. That being said, it is expensive, both in resources and experience, where 4 or 5 experience, you're starting to tread into, like, main weapon territory. So it's like, do I spend 4 experience on this, or do I spend 5 experience on my flamethrower or my hammer or whatever? And at that point, you know, I think you really have to have a reason to play this card, unfortunately. So it's not that it's bad on, like, a power level perspective. It's just kind of hard to play in a deck just due to its cost and due to the nature of it. I was kind of thinking when you were talking about Mystic cards, like, Sister Mary maybe could mess around with this card because she can take Vermis Mysterious and she can take Arcane Initiate and find this card, and maybe there's something there, but this is tough, you know, because it's not a bad card. It's just weird.
The fact that it does 4 damage, that's really good.
Yeah.
The fact that it does 4 damage and you get to add 2 stats to it, that's also really good. The fact that you don't even have to be at the same location as the target. Now, that's something we haven't really seen before outside of Dynamite Blast. That's interesting.
I could see this being really good against the Rougarou.
Well, just the fact that you can, like, split the party and still cover them. Like, that's pretty cool. That's not something we see a lot, because, like, a lot of times we, you know, when we do, like, say the classic Guardian Seeker duo, you know, we just have them, like, move together in a little ball and, you know, they go through the map. But, like, this lets another party member just go off. I'm thinking 4 player here especially, where it's, like, really hard to keep all 4 people together, you know, because lots of stuff has to happen, and you can, like, cover the whole map just with this card. Like, that's really good.
I did take a peek at some of the scenarios in Edge of the Earth, and the maps are very large. I will say that for them.
Yeah.
There are some massive maps in this campaign. Yeah. So I think cards that encourage movement like this are going to, their stock is going to rise significantly. It is important to note here that this is very good for Zoe, especially on huge maps where her enemy of choice gets dumped God knows where, and this lets her basically teleport to it and deal with it. So that's something to consider if you are a fan of playing Zoe. Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Nate, that I think this is a weird card, because typically combat-oriented guardians are going to go for a weapon over a one-shot event. And so that's where their experience is going to go. And branching out to spend 4 experience points, even though this event hits incredibly hard, you know, 4 or 5 if you're playing, you know, Nathaniel, I just think it's a tough sell for a lot of the guardians.
Maybe Carolyn?
Carolyn can't take
it.
Oh,
that's hilarious.
Oh, that's right. It's level 4.
Too many XP. It's level 4. That's probably why it's level 4.
Yeah, that's what my mind jumped to, too. I was like, oh, Carolyn. And then I'm like, nope, she can't deal with this either. Yeah. So, yeah, it is in a weird spot. Like,
It
maybe Nathaniel likes this because it is a fight event. He maybe upgrades out of some of his level zero fight events into something like this and can hit very hard. The spell trait is awkward though for him. It's, you know, if this was a spirit trait card, slam dunk for him, but spell is odd. Like you said, Marie is all about the spells, but it's not really good for her. She just, the stats don't line up on it. I think DeVermis might be very good because it does reduce the cost and you could play this from your discard pile. So if you did end up spending 8 XP to buy two copies of this, you theoretically get 4 uses out of it, which then it starts to be decent. But yeah, it feels like you need to put a little more work into getting that, to really leverage this as much as you need. I mean, there's no complaints about the combat bonuses or the damage bonuses, and the fact that it targets any enemy, elite, non-elite.
The fact that it solves all the positioning problems makes me feel like, it makes me feel like Guardian finally got a Seeker card, like a card on Seeker's powered level, where it's like, we're just going to, like, all your problems are gone, you know, because we're going to say all that stuff you need to do to set up the ability to play something and deal 4 damage, not a problem. Just play this, and, you know, you can teleport across the map, or you can choose not to teleport across the map. You could save your friend, you could deal 4 damage. It feels like it just does a lot in one card, and for that reason, it feels appropriately costed at 4 XP. Compare this to, like, even Gang Up, you know, where you gotta have, like, 3 synergies going in order to get it up to 4 damage, and it still doesn't send you across the map or add your agility. Like, I see why they have this in, like, Lily. Maybe somebody was assuming, like, a Dragon Pole Lily deck was gonna take this, where, like, you stop at Dragon Pole and you have Uncage of the Soul and, like, Arcane Initiates to find this. I mean, it's kind of specific, but I have a feeling that's what that's who they designed this for.
How do we rate it, though?
Oh, yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, it's just one of those where it's like, if you need a weapon, if you need a big weapon, then you're not going to want this. If you don't need a big weapon, you're probably going to love this, you know?
But then you probably can't take it, which is the other problem.
You probably can't take it.
I feel like this card was originally a Mystic card, and then they tried it out in some Mystics, and it was just dumb. Like, it was just really dumb in Mystic, and they're like, okay, we have to make this. We want to make this card, but it's too good in Mystic, so we'll make it a Guardian card. I don't know. Like, that's my tinfoil hat theory with this card. But, it's weird. I guess a zero? I don't know. Like, it's good. It's a really good card. Yeah. You'd probably, like, do some work with it.
Man,
it's going to...
We're just having problems with, like, valuing XP with this card set, I swear. Like, XP is such a weird mechanic in this game and how it, like...
Well, it's like, when I think about experience cards, I'm like, okay, would I include this in a standalone deck? Are there times where I'm going to, like, play this standalone?
Yeah, because you're going to, like, totally, like, one-shot something, and you're going to feel so good when you do it, you know, with this card.
Yeah, like, I think of the Rougarou, where the Rougarou, like, jumps around the map as you're, you know, trying to kill it or chase it down or whatever. Like, this card is super good in that scenario, or, you know, like, I can think of situations where this card is really good versus something over a weapon, but...
Yeah, the scenario that comes to mind for me is, what's the one with the circle in Italy?
Oh, Carnivale?
Carnivale.
Oh, yeah.
Where enemy might end up directly opposite you, and you can just teleport over there and slam it for a ton of damage and kill it.
To be honest, there's actually a lot of, like, the more I think about it, there's a lot of situations where I like this thing, where it's like, actually, like, half of Carcosa has things spawning not on you, and the ability to hit it without having to go all the way up to it, engage it before it hunts you, and then hit it. Like,
Yeah, true, like the Organist, for instance, yeah.
Or even, like, you can cover the team if you split up in Pallid Mask. You can teleport across the Asylum. You can deal with Candace in the Asylum. You can, you just go through scenario, and it's like.
So does this work with aloof enemies?
No, because you can't fight aloof enemies that are unengaged.
Yeah.
So that being said, if it's engaged with a friend, you can.
Yeah. So you'd get the move, but you couldn't engage the end. It doesn't give you an engage. I'm gonna give this one a plus one.
Friend, it'd be good. Yeah,
I think if you're not in the market for a big weapon, you can't. I mean, there's just so many upsides to this card that unless you're you've got your heart set on buying the hammer or a flamethrower or something like that, then yeah, you're not going to look at this. But I think for all the investigators, for all those and other investigators who aren't interested in playing with the big weapons, that this thing hits like a truck.
Yeah,
hits hard at a good bonus and gives you a big move, which, you know, movement is one of the pillars of this game. The ability to move around the map, especially larger maps where you've got a lot of ground to cover. This is pretty good.
Yeah, I think I'd also give it a plus one because it just does a lot. Plus four damage events is kind of a magic number now. And the fact that it can do four damage is pretty good. Yeah, plus one.
That's going to do it for our look at the Guardian cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. Any final thoughts on the Guardian cards that we have looked at so far?
I think in this set, the designers did a really good job of making Guardian cards more interesting, or I guess like more unique from one another. Like the weapon was very unique from weapons we've seen in the past. I would argue that the big weapon, quote unquote, of the Guardians is really the Fang, which is not a weapon at all, which is kind of cool. We see cards that the community probably didn't even really appreciate, and the composers really gain a lot of stock in these newer versions. On the Hunt, level 3 is quite solid. Dodge and stand-up are a little so-so, but, you know, sweeping kick, defensive stance, there's a lot of really good tools for a lot of Guardians in this set.
Yeah, this has been a wild ride, you know, because, like, we've had all these cards, we've had some cards that are, like, really, really hard to talk about and think about in the context of review, like geared up and gang up. We've had some, like, really puzzling cards, like Butterfly Swords level 2. We've had some, like, awful ones, like Dodge. But then we also had some like ones we just keep wanting to talk about, like Combat Training and On the Hunt. Yeah, this has been a wild ride, I have to say. Yeah.
I do have to credit the designers for avoiding the plague of the crappy Guardian weapon they seem to dump in every cycle. I mean, we had Blackjack in Dunwich Legacy. We had Trench Knife a couple cycles ago. Even Survival Knife hasn't really seen a lot of a play. So while Butterfly Knives may not be as good as some of the other big weapons out there, I think it's at least interesting enough to consider playing, whereas a lot of those other weapons were just basically throwaways. Like, you're just not going to bother with them. I think there's a lot of really exciting cards in this particular set. Guardians always seem to fly under the radar a little bit when it comes to cards. It seemed like in the past few cycles the Seekers have garnered the lion's share of the really exciting overpowered stuff, and the other classes, Guardian in particular, have been kind of like meh, you know, not not amazing.
Seem, you know, basic by comparison.
So,
you know, it's like, yeah.
The fact that there are so many cards in this particular pool that I'm genuinely excited to take and put in a deck and see how they fare is bodes well for the rest of the set.
If only those Butterfly Swords level 5 were any good.
That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your Elder Sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.